Thank you. Be seated. Court is ready to hear argument from petitioner in Rust v. Tompkins County.
May it please the court, Mr. Dan Parkman will present argument for petitioner. Petitioner has reserved no time for rebuttal.
Good morning. May it please the court, Ms. Cartwright, Mr. Lowe. Of course, the court is aware that this is a property tax case wherein the petitioner filed below in district court for review of an agricultural use evaluation. The determination made by the Hopkins County Appraisal District and the Hopkins County Appraisal Review Board. The court has invited us here today to speak on points of error 1, 2, and 4 in the petitioner's application for writ of error. The petitioner takes the position that point of error number 1 is a legal sufficiency point. Point of error number 2 is a matter of law point, and point of error number 4 is a conditional matter of law point, of course, depending on this court reversing and rendering. Going back now to point of error number 1, under this point, petitioner argues that the $200 an acre figure found by the trial court in the finding of fact number 7, is legally insufficient for two reasons. Number one, the owner-operator net income in the amount of $41.23, and this is found on page 5 of the application for writ of error that we submitted, which is a figure the appraisal district derived for the category improved pasture, and the $35.24 for native pasture, also found on page 5, and in the plaintiff's exhibit number 3, which was introduced below, is a nullity because of the admission by the appraisal district of the income contributions from the other principal enterprises of milk production and beef production.
Counsel, you have 692 acres.
Yes, sir, 691.63, I believe.
How much of that is in native pasture?
The entire parcel was assigned native pasture. The entire parcel was in native pasture.
So none of it was in coastal Bermuda or other improved grasses?
That is correct.
What was the 692 acres used for between dairy, beef, and hay?
Beef production.
If you look at the three categories of dairy, beef, and hay, is one use of the property more profitable than other?
It would depend, Your Honor, on the owner-operator budget which was developed for the proper appraisal of the land under the ag use valuation. The tax code requires that the prior 5-year period be added, averaged, to reach that value.
Do they assign a higher value for hay than they do for beef or dairy?
Well, beef and dairy was not prepared by the appraisal district. Those budgets were not prepared. Only one budget was prepared, and that was for hay production. Number two, the process of combining the appraised values of $290 per acre for improved pasture and $140 per acre for native pasture, again found in plaintiff's exhibit introduced number 3 introduced below and on page 5 of the application for writ, is contrary to sections 23.51 subsection 5 and 23.52 subsection A of the Texas Tax Code. By the way, all of the code sections I will be referring to here today refer to the tax code. And the same is actually prohibited by the plain language of section 26.02. Now, it is undisputed that the net return to land of $41.23 per acre for the improved pasture and $35.24 per acre for native pasture was not derived from a weighted averaging of the net income from those principal enterprises of milk, beef, and hay production. Rather, as I just mentioned, they were derived from a single budget of hay production only. Now, our position is that since this was done, that these figures was not ascertained as provided by the State Property Tax Board guidelines on page 21, which was defendant's exhibit number one, introduced below. Furthermore, the Court of Appeals agrees that the enterprises of milk and beef should have been included. Nevertheless, the Court of Appeals has concluded that petitioner, I quote, did not introduce evidence that supported his contention that the failure of the tax appraisal district to include milk and beef production caused any difference in the value of its property, end quote. That's found on page 10 of the opinion. This conclusion obviously ignores the fact that petitioner introduced into evidence the typical cash lease method of appraisal, which was derived by the appraisal district, as according to statute, as part of that same plaintiff's exhibit number three. And where the owner-operated budget information is insufficient, as here in our case, then the typical lease method of appraisal is then authorized by section 23.51, subsection 4. The typical lease method of appraisal covering the petitioner's property is shown on page 5 of that exhibit number 3 I mentioned, and page 5 also of the petitioner's writ of application. When those elements are processed as mandated by section 23.51, subsection 4, they yield the value required by law for petitioner's property in this case. And that computation is found on plaintiff's exhibit number 6, which was introduced below. And when those figures are processed according to that, the total appraisal value for the total number of acres in contest here is $63,139. Now, in addition or in the alternative to this, in the opinion in the Court of Appeals on page 12, and I quote, says, to prove that the appraisal figure of its property was incorrect, Rusk Industries had the burden to prove that the inclusion of typical beef and milk producing property at the properly weighted average would have reduced the appraised value of its property, end quote. This ignores the operative effect of what we call, or what is known as, the 50% rule, which is contained in section 23.51, subsection 4 of the tax code. What I'm saying here is that it's undisputed that petitioner's acreage was included in some 240,000 acres of agricultural land in Hopkins County, which was designated native pasture, and that the maximum appraised value allowed by that 50% rule for that category of land, the maximum amount is $140 per acre. The appraised value for petitioner's land may not exceed that amount, $140 per acre, regardless of what the net income is from those budgets are. For example, had budgets been prepared by the appraisal district in regard to milk, beef, hay, and whatever else they may, the enterprises may be composed of there, it could never be $200 an acre because it's limited by that 50% rule. Now, the failure of the appraisal district to ascertain the value of petitioner's property, as provided by law, in itself proves that the figure of $200 an acre was incorrect. The Court of Appeals below, also on page 10 of its opinion, suggested that the petitioner was required to show substantial injury. And on that page also, they refer to authorities. The authorities we submit that the Court of Appeals referred to are bottom on legal principles, doctrines, burdens of proof that were applicable to pre-tax code cases. In our case, we are making a direct attack and not a collateral attack, as many of the pre-code cases were. There were cases collaterally attacking the appraisal methods that were engaged in by the taxing agencies. Normally, the way that happened was by injunction or by suit filed for deficiency tax, and then the taxpayer would come forward and defend collaterally, so to speak. In our case, that's not true. In our case, the taxpayer did not sit idly back, but followed the mandates as prescribed by the tax code. He met with the appraisal review board protesting the amount of appraisal. He gave them notice of his protest and his disagreement. Then he came in within 45 days that's required by the tax code and filed his suit in the district court. He followed all those steps exactly as the tax code directs. And in fact, this is the proper and has been held to be the only method to attack these tax cases under current law.
What does the record show about how other counties perform this function?
The record is silent on that, John. With one qualification, maybe I should add, we produced an expert witness there that was a former tax appraiser in Titus County, Texas. Titus County, yes, sir. And in fact, I would guess you could assume that he gave us some of his practice.
You testified in your favor, but as to whether that's how they did it in Titus County or any other county, the record's ambivalent.
I believe it would be, Your Honor. And that witness's name was Mr. John Jennings. Now, the concept that the respondents have advanced, and I'm referring to page 6 of respondents' reply brief, is that the petitioner did not prove that the failure of respondents to use a certain methodology of appraisal caused any difference in the value of the property. Certainly, the methodology referred to by respondents is that same methodology that is mandated by sections 21.51 through 23.53 of the tax code. However, the respondents imply that these tax code provisions have no force nor effect on the Hopkins County Tax Appraisal District. According to the respondents' concept, the legislature simply has engaged in a useless undertaking in drafting and enacting these code provisions. The district is free, according to their viewpoint apparently, can use whatever methodology suits their purpose and shift the burden then to the taxpayers to prove the value so derived is wrong. Surely this court will not forget the long-standing rule of law that the legislature would not do a useless act. In conclusion on this point of error, number one, I would submit that there's no competent evidence in the record to support the trial court's finding of fact number 7, because that figure of $200 per acre was not ascertained as provided by law. Moreover, the petitioner did introduce undisputed evidence by way of that plaintiff's exhibit number 3, which established that the figure of $200 per acre was incorrect.
The weighted figure of $200 per acre, that was a countywide average, was it?
It was applied to a pasture land throughout the county. Yes.
It was a countywide number.
That is correct.
It had nothing to do directly with your property.
No, sir. Well, it was, our property was appraised according to that figure, same figure, but it was countywide. That evidence established that that figure of $200 was incorrect because of that 50% rule that I've talked about and contained in section 23.51, subsection 4. Now, at this point in time, we would submit that we have shown excessive appraisal. Let's go to point of error number 2, and I think we can then arrive at what should have been the correct appraisal figure. Now, as I previously talked about, the introduction into evidence of that typical lease appraisal, which was conducted by the respondents, established that petitioner's property was excessively appraised according to that 50% rule that I mentioned. Then the question remaining is to answer as to how you properly process the appraisal estimates contained in that typical lease appraisal that they have prepared. This then reduces to the question as to whether the owner-operator budgets were sufficient in law or whether or not they were too flawed because they didn't cover the milk production and the beef production, and they should be abandoned entirely. And we fall back to that lease method that's provided by statute. Our first position is that the proper processing or the proper computation to determine tax value should be done using only the lease method and not bringing into play the 50% rule to add to that figure. Now, we believe that the proper interpretation of the tax code provisions and as the directions are set out here in the Texas State Property Tax Board Agricultural Guideline Booklet militates toward computing the appraised value of petitioner's property by using only the typical lease method. On page 21 of this exhibit, they grant the appraisal review district an option that says, quote, should the appraiser determine that sufficient data is unavailable to build a series of budgets for net land value for a land use category, the cash lease method may be chosen. Why is this not available for the taxpayer? Certainly, it should be available for the trial court to use because section 42.24, subsection 1 of the tax code states, in, quote, in determining an appeal, the district court may, colon, number 1, fix the appraised value of property in accordance with the requirements of law if the appraised value is at issue, end quote. Concluding there, on this point, we submit that the unchallenged typical lease appraisal contained in plaintiff's exhibit number 3 establishes as a matter of law that the ag use value should appear on the appraisal roll for petitioner property in the amount of $63,139. At the very most, and using our alternate method, if the short court should decide that this is correct, then the maximum amount it can ever be is $140 per acre, and that would make the tax amount $96,828. We'd like to go now to point of error number four, which is the point on the attorney fee. I feel like the application for writ of error that we have filed covers this.
Any questions? Thank you, counsel.
Thank you very much.
The court is ready to hear an argument for respondents.
May it please the court. Ms. Deborah Cartwright will present argument for respondents.
May it please the court. Russell Brandon, partner with our law firm, was the lead counsel in this case and unfortunately couldn't be here today because he had a long-standing appointment elsewhere and wanted me to express his apologies to the court. With me is Peter Lowe, who is co-counsel on the case and has helped in preparing some of the appellate material.
Counsel, do you agree that the Texas Constitution instructs the legislature to promote the preservation of open space land?
Yes, I agree.
Do you agree that the Texas property tax code specifies that there is improved pasture and native pasture?
I was about to say no, and I want you to restate it.
Texas property tax code section 23.51 subparagraph 3.
Mm-hmm.
Indicate that there should be categories of land including improved pasture and native pasture. Is that correct?
I don't believe that is correct, Your Honor. The reason being this. I realize that the statute...
Is that what the statute
the
says?
The statute specifically states that categories shall include certain ones. That's correct, and those are listed.
Okay.
However,
now, is there a difference between native pasture and improved pasture?
Not necessarily.
Well, would coastal Bermuda be the same thing as common Bermuda?
Possibly, depending on the type of irrigation and type of fertilizing that had gone on, the kind of improvements that had gone on with the grass. What you're talking about are different types of grasses.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. Now, in 1984, you taxed this very same property as native pasture land. In 1986, you taxed it as improved pasture land. What changes took place between 1984 and 1986 that caused you to change the basis of your taxation?
Before I answer the question completely, let me say that there was not a change in the way that it was categorized from unimproved or native to improved between 1984 and 1986.
According to the record, there was.
According to the record, I believe it says that in 1986 that the appraisal district made a decision that the productivity of the land in Hopkins County was so homogeneous and that grass was the prevailing crop of that county, throughout the county. All pasture, all 480,000 acres approximately, were in the production of grass for various and sundry purposes.
So are you saying all grass is the same?
No, I'm saying that all grass is a type of crop.
Are you saying that all grass is a type of crop has the same value?
Potentially, yes.
Well, would you sell alfalfa hay for the same thing that you would sell common Bermuda hay for?
Not being a farmer, I'm not sure which way I would sell it, but it depends on the market, Your Honor.
But you're saying that all grass is a crop, and therefore, since all grass is a crop, all grass is the same.
In terms of appraisal, yes, Your Honor, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Even though the statute differentiates clearly between improved pasture and native pasture.
I do not believe that the Texas legislature would have wanted an appraisal district to create a category of property which did not exist in full farm. For example, it also lists irrigated cropland and dry cropland. I believe there are many counties in the state of Texas that do not have irrigated cropland. And I can hardly imagine that the legislature anticipated that the county appraisal district had to establish a category strictly because the statute listed it. It is a term of law. I think that this is one of those statutes where shall means may, that there is a discretion in terms of whether the category should be created if it exists.
Do you know that if land is planted in improved grasses, does it have a higher resale value than land that is planted simply in common Bermuda?
If the buyer wanted to use it for a certain purpose, I would think that would be possible. If the buyer had no interest in the marketplace to have an improved pasture, I don't think it would make any sense. We are talking about an agricultural use valuation here. We're not talking about a market valuation. they're talking about productivity of the land, and I think that's a clear distinction between what someone would buy property for.
But does not land that is planted in improved grasses, such as coastal Bermuda, produce substantially more grass than land that is planted in common Bermuda?
Very possibly. I think that is true. Yes, sir.
Now, we've used a weighting factor of $200 for the entire county, have we not?
Yes, sir, we have.
Isn't that analogous to using a subdivision and you paid $100,000 for your home and your neighbor paid $1 million for his home, so you average the two together and you tax each one of you at $550,000?
No, sir, it is not. You're talking in a subdivision on the sale of homes of the market valuation standard. You're talking about sales, you're talking about people buying, and you're talking about market. You're talking about productivity valuation in the case of this land. There is a clear distinction between land and houses and productivity where the legislature intended.
I'm looking at the Court of Appeals opinion, and it says on page 113, that pasture land contained no hybrid forages that were recognized as improved pasture. Okay? But yet I go to page 115 and find out that they have taxed 40% at $290 an acre, that being the value if it had improved grasses on it. So on one page, the Court of Appeals says there are no improved grasses on this property, but yet using your countywide average, it's taxing 40% of that land as if it had improved grasses.
The weighted average approach that was created by the Hawkins County Appraisal District was looking at the total countywide productivity of the land, no matter what the individual farmer or rancher decided to do with it, no matter whether the petitioner here decided that he was going to allow the forage to be in a natural state or whether he was going to sprig it and fertilize it and that sort of thing. The petitioner had every opportunity that he wanted to do those sorts of things. The Hawkins County Tax Appraisal District made a decision that because of the homogeneous nature of the soil of the land in Hawkins County, that it had to be appraised in a fashion that was uniform across the board, that it would not be right to reward the person who didn't do anything with his land.
Well,
you're working with a tax break by saying that your property is less, even though the soil itself is exactly the same as the negro across the fence.
If you build a bigger house on a lot, you've made a more expensive improvement, so you pay more taxes.
That's correct.
If you build a smaller house, you pay less taxes.
That's correct.
If you leave your land in common Bermuda, which is natural to the soil, it is worth less and therefore should be taxed less, should it not?
I don't agree, Your Honor. I think that the standard that the court that you're making that I would want to make a distinction concerning has to do with market value and productivity value. That house is going to sell or potentially can sell based on the size of it, by the degree of improvements that are there, by the kind of market that exists. When you're talking about productivity of land, you're talking about something entirely different. And that is the very reason that the appraisal district in this case attempted to come up with a uniform value, because the land in Hawkins County is so homogeneous. It's not like any other county really in the state.
Haven't they thus made the decision that each landowner is held to the highest and best grass production of which the land is capable?
Quite the contrary, Your Honor. I think it does absolutely the opposite. I think what it does is take management decisions completely out of the equation, allowing the landowner to do whatever he wants to do with it. You're not penalizing the person who goes so far as to put out coastal Bermuda and to do things to improve its property. You're giving him the uniform treatment that you give to any other pasture owner in Hawkins County, because the land is all the same.
But you're penalizing the person who prefers to leave it in common Bermuda.
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I think
aren't
you're treating
you ignoring what the legislature has said, though?
I'm sorry.
You ignoring what the legislative mandate was about how it could proceed?
No, sir. The legislative mandate in the definition of agricultural use and all of the definitions that you see in the tax code refer to productivity of the land. They refer to an agricultural use. They're very distinct.
But then having referred to it, then if you ignore it and say, well, it's all the same, that you can't separate out and say some is more productive than others, then haven't you ignored what the legislative...
We're saying that the productivity of the land is the same in Hopkins County. It's not like a West Texas county where that you couldn't fertilize it, sprig it, water it enough to make anything grow, and then a creek bed not too far away in the county. You've got enough soil type that things are able to be productive. Or placed out in the hill country, where you have beautiful hay meadows, and then just 100 yards away, you have sheer rock cliffs where you couldn't grow a cactus. What you have in Hopkins County is such a homogeneous, unique, uniform Crockett loam soil that is so productive countywide that in order to address the productivity of the land, it was necessary to create a category. The legislature and then the guidelines that were promulgated by the State Property Tax Board at the time very clearly state, number one, don't create a category if property doesn't exist in order to fill that category. Do not do it. It's in that particular statement in the guidelines.
Doesn't the tax code also say that you should consider hay, dairy, and beef?
No, it does not. The guidelines that were promulgated by the State Property Tax Code say that you use enterprises. We say the enterprise in this county was the production of grass. It does not say business enterprise. It says specifically to stay away from management decisions. There is not an example in that particular manual that talks about dairy, that talks about beef, that talks about hay in particular. There was testimony on the record from the petitioner, or the president of the petitioner, excuse me, himself, that in his view, those were the three major enterprises. In our view, every one of them is grass. The major agricultural enterprise in Hopkins County was the production of grass. There's also cropland, there's a category for that. There's also some other orchard category. But in terms of pasture land, the commonality is grass.
You agree that in the past, that the county did make a distinction between beef, dairy, and grass?
Yes, I do. Oh, I'm sorry. Between beef, dairy, and grass? No,
yes,
sir. They had a distinction between what they called native pasture and improved pasture as cattle.
But in computing the weighted average, this time they used only hay, whereas previously they had used the other categories also.
That I do not know. It's not on the record, Your Honor. I'm not sure exactly how they counted, they handled it. And by the way, I must clarify something. There is nothing on the record that indicates what they calculated was hay. That is assumption and an allegation that has been made throughout this trial, and I'm sorry I didn't get to go with my prepared remarks because I was going to address it, and I think we just have to keep going like this now. But the information, the budgets that you see, the owner-operator budgets that are in the record, everything you see in the record that was prepared by the Hopkins County Tax Appraisal District deals with what they call coastal Bermuda. And I will agree that that is a specific owner-operator budget that was prepared. The other one is a misnomer that they called native pasture, but that was the rest of the grass in the rest of the county. And there is no reference at all to hay, other than the fact in the expense column on the native pastures, on the coastal Bermuda, they put an expense for baling and hauling.
Well, if you don't cut the grass,
mm-hmm,
and you don't have hay, but
that's
if
correct.
You
have grazing land.
Okay, which would then bring in beef or dairy.
If you want to break it down into a management or a business enterprise, you're exactly right, Your Honor. We are trying very hard to stay away from management. We're trying to stay very hard to stay away from business enterprises. What we are dealing here is the absolute productivity of this unique, homogeneous land.
What you're saying is that the test under the statute and under the Constitution is not what the land is doing, what can be.
Exactly, Your Honor. That is, we believe that that was a constitutional mandate to preserve open space land. We believe that it is a statutory mandate to make sure that there is a uniformity in the type of appraisals that are done on open space land. And we believe that the State Property Tax Board manual guidelines at the time very specifically lead you in that direction, because they talk, that the guidelines themselves speak specifically to not creating categories when they don't exist, number one. Number two, to try to maintain uniformity. Number three, to take management decisions out of appraisal.
If you decided, your appraisal board decided that because of the homogeneous nature of the land in the county, that it was best suited for raising Christmas trees, is it your position that you could then tax all of the landowners based upon the value of the land in producing Christmas trees?
I'm just not an appraiser, and I don't want to speculate on that. But if that was if trees were what was grown throughout the county,
the best use.
I don't want to get into how it's best use. I want to talk about the productivity of land, and if in that land there are lots of trees.
You've already said the best use is improved.
I don't believe I said that, Your Honor. I might have said that was maybe had a higher resale value. I'm not sure.
Well, they have down here established coastal Bermuda at $290 an acre, native pastures $140 an acre.
Based on owner-operator budgets, Your Honor.
Now, but they've determined that there is a best use for this land.
I don't believe so, Your Honor. I don't agree with that analysis. I'm sorry. I don't think that connotes best use. What that connotes is what the owner-operator budget in terms of the money and expenses that are going in and out of the operation of this coastal Bermuda operation would be. That doesn't necessarily mean best use.
Why are they taxing this particular landowner as if he had coastal Bermuda when he doesn't have any?
I don't believe that they're taxing him as if he has coastal Bermuda. I believe that they've averaged values together to come up with a productivity value of the land.
Well, on page 115, it shows that 40% of his taxes assume that he had coastal Bermuda.
No, sir, that is not correct. That the weighted average that was applied to the two owner-operator budgets that were prepared, one for coastal Bermuda, the other for any other kind of grass in the county, were weighted together on a 60-40 basis with a 60% going towards the other grass based on what the typical use of in the county was for production of grass. We don't know which category that the petitioner's property falls into.
The court says which category it falls into on page 1, that it had no improved grasses.
I was going to say earlier that we didn't necessarily agree with everything in the court's opinion, and that's one of the things, Your Honor. We think that the record reflects that there was some fertilizing of his property, that there was some ryegrass that was planted from time to time. We agree it was not seeded with any sort of coastal Bermuda, but I think that the record reflects very clearly that his property was treated as all other property in Hopkins County was treated.
If this were cliffy property such that it was arid or unarable property, it would have to be treated differently.
I believe so, yes, ma'am. If there was a county in which the soil types were very distinct, where the productivity value was very distinct, you would have to create categories. That is very clear. The record is very clear also on the point that Crockett loam is the primary soil of the area, that this property has been cultivated for over 150 years, that this is one of the most highly productive, unique counties in the state of Texas, that there are practically only 2% of the native grasses originally in Hopkins County exist any longer. This is an area that is so productive that in an effort to create an appraisal to reflect the productivity value of the land, the Hopkins County Appraisal District developed a weighted average approach that gets to a uniform basis that's important in agricultural use in this state. You do not want people taxed on their management. You do not want people to have to make decisions on how they're going to use their land based on what their tax base is going to be. You don't want to take a former rancher who is a good manager and penalize him for going so far as to work very hard to make this land better. You want to create uniformity based on productivity, and we believe we did exactly that.
Well, you say that's the purpose that the legislature has expressed?
I believe it most definitely is the purpose the legislature has expressed.
So you're saying there's a completely different approach for valuation for tax purposes than there would be for, say, sale purposes?
I think that
if I was interested in buying land in Hopkins County, I'd want to find some good land that would be very productive, and that I would use a different set of criteria than you can use under the guidelines that you've expressed.
Market sales, Your Honor, are so individually motivated, as you know.
Which might result from management, as you have said,
yes,
that you want to avoid that.
Right. If you wanted to go in and just build a house on some land and you had some different uses of the land, I'm not sure what you'd want to pay for it. If you wanted to go in and do
I'm going, this is agriculture land. This is agriculture land, and I want to invest in agriculture land, and I want it to be productive agriculture land that will produce for the agriculture market.
Mm-hmm.
And you're saying that I would use a different set of criteria than you can use.
Yeah, I think that's possibly so, yes. I think we have to look to the productivity of the land. I don't think we can look at the set market sales.
Any other questions? Thank you.
Thank you for having me.
That concludes the arguments of the second call. The court will take another brief recess.
The audience will please rise.